Episcopal priest and author Fleming Rutledge tells the story of receiving the best Christmas card she said she'd ever received some years ago. After opening all the normal cards with pictures of beautiful families and amazing vacations and graduation photos from fancy universities, she opened a card and she described it this way. Its first page was a brilliant orange-red with these words from the Christmas story in the Gospel of St. Luke printed on it. The day will dawn on us from on high, which is Luke 1:78. Then you opened it and received a shock. On the inside, printed in somber black and white, was a photograph of a wretched slum dwelling. In the shadow of the wall sat a small African child in tattered clothing, staring into space with enormous starved eyes. The inscription on the inside, completing the verse begun on the orange cover, was this: to give light to those that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Fleming continues. She says, some who received this card were outraged by it. We do not want to see anything unpleasant at Christmas, they said. They wanted something pretty, something happy. But I still think, she says, that it was a true Christmas message in the way that the glittery cards can never be. The authentically hopeful Christmas spirit has not looked away from the darkness, but straight into it. The true victorious Christmas spirit does not look away from death, but directly at it. Otherwise, the message is cheap and false. And she ends, Advent begins in the dark. Advent begins in the dark. This would have been good news, it seems to me, for the people that Isaiah was speaking to in the lesson that we just heard. Isaiah was writing to a nation, Judah, who, not unlike our own current time of the year, was slipping into deep darkness. While God had promised to make them great and to bless them, they were seeing all their hopes and dreams slip into despair. Their leaders had led them away from God, the God of their ancestors, and towards the God of their enemies. And they too were finding themselves lukewarm to God's presence in their lives. Maybe because of what they had done, and maybe because of what had been done to them. Whatever it was, the writing was starting to appear on the wall, and the nation of Judah and their lives were slowly disintegrating before their eyes. Their king Ahaz, on the other hand, was telling them that everything was great, never been better. Look how wonderful our lives are. We're friends with the biggest superpower in the world, Assyria, who is caring for us. They love us. But the people knew better. Looks are deceiving. And while everyone might be celebrating on the outside, they knew that the darkness was taking over. We know that how that is. I think one of the challenging things sometimes at Christmas is especially in these times when we find ourselves faced with the dark, is how happy it all seems to be all the time. Jingle bells, Santa Claus, Frosty, even Joy to the World. These are songs of whimsy, imaginative gift-giving, and sheer delight. And of course, there's a place for that. I don't think any of us would begrudge Christmas cheer and childlike wonder. But the problem, it seems to me, with the way we often do Christmas and the holidays is that we forget, as Rutledge says, that Advent begins in the dark. That things for some, I might even say for most, are not all that merry and bright. In fact, the opposite is often what is really true. Like that Christmas card sent, the reality is of so many is that life feels like it is slipping away in a cage or on life support, in abandonment or homelessness, in fear of a recent diagnosis or a loss, or the sheer anguish of having a child who seems very far from home. But the world we live in doesn't really want to hear that. They don't want to hear about the pain and the loss. They don't want to hear about children in cages or refugees on the run or cancer cells that are running amok. Christmas often feels like it's not made for the dark. It's really supposed to be all about the light. And therefore, if one is in the dark, it seems almost not okay. Maybe not acceptable. Somehow not authentic to the Christmas experience. And so what do we do? We tend to supplant our true experiences, it seems, and we run away from them, or we pack them up and put them away for another day or another season for fear of dampening others' happiness, all the while feeling like life is not as it should be. But friends, that's not the good news. That's not the good news of the season. For the truth of the good news is that this Advent season begins in the dark. And it's often there that we find the glimmers of the light. Isaiah writes, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in the land of deep darkness, on them light has shined." There's a promise there, isn't there? That light will come. It may not come now, and it may not come in an instant, but the promise is that the darkness will end. But that's not all. What's interesting to me, it seems, about this statement is that it seems as if seeing the light must involve the darkness. Just like a candle is not seen in full daylight, but is best seen in the dark, the promise Isaiah lifts up is that it's in the midst of the dark world that God happens. That God is actually seen best in the dark and not in the light. You know, one of the reasons the church chose this time of the year to celebrate Jesus' birth was to match up with this season, this winter solstice, that was celebrated by non-believers and pagans all over the world because they wanted to tell a story. The winter solstice, as you know, is the darkest night of the year. We're about ready to recognize it. And for the past few months, the light in the sky has been getting shorter and shorter, the nights longer and longer, until it finally reaches its apex, or maybe we would say its bottom, right about now. And so, think about this. It was at that moment, at this moment, that the church chose to embrace the light of the world in the midst of the darkest time of the year. And in doing so, it seems to me that it gives the darkness dignity and the light the brightness of hope that it deserves. Everyone wants darkness to mean something. And at Advent, as we wait for the light, we find that that God is often seen best in the midst of our dark. You might be here tonight believing that the Christmas card that you would send would be unfit for public consumption. That while the world is filled with lights and cheer, your life is filled with a blanket of darkness and despair that is overwhelming. That while the world is gearing up for perfect presents and well-framed social media posts, you would like this season of your life, frankly, to be forgotten as it's lost in fear or maybe betrayal or depression or anger or shame or a numbness of being that seems somehow inappropriate or unacceptable for Christmas. Well, I'm here to tell you on this night, don't believe it. In fact, that's the farthest thing from the truth. In fact, the opposite seems to be the more honest one, the truer way. For it is into our darkness that God's light chose to come. It is into our darkness that God's light is best seen. And it is into the darkness of our world that God happens again and again and again. And so, friends, let us wait for the light and let us have hope. And may we be at peace. Amen.